So Rashi, quoting the Gemara, the Medrash, tells us that Hiskima Daitu Lamashinemar Lamoshe Bisinai, that Bezalel's mind was in sync with that which had been said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Why? Ki Moshe Tziva LeBezalel Lasos Tchila Kelim V'Acher Kach Mishkan. For Moshe commanded Bezalel to make the kelim, the utensils, the furnishings first, V'Acher Kach, and afterwards to build the Mishkan. Amar lo Bezalel, Bezalel said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Minag ha'olam, it's the way of the world, it's common practice, la'asos t'chila bayis, to first make a home, v'achar kach mesim kelim besocho, and afterwards to put the furnishings into it. Amar lo, Moshe Rabbeinu said, kach shomati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Amar lo Moshe, Moshe went on and said to him, Bitzel kel ha'yisa, you were in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shadow. Ki bevadai kach tziva li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for certainly, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me, v'chein asa, and that is as Bezalel had done first, HaMishkan Tchila V'achar Kach Asa Kelim. This is a very beautiful medrash. The why is it necessary for Bezalel to give a mashal, an idea, an example, a parable to Moshe Rabbeinu? All Bezalel had to say is that it makes sense to first build the Mishkan and then put the kelim inside the Mishkan. Why is it that he has to spell out, almost as if Moshe Rabbeinu has a difficult time understanding without it, Bezalel comes and says, Minag ha'olam la'asos tchila bayis, isn't it common practice to first make a house and then put the furnishings in the house? It's not necessary. Just say the Mishkan is Tchila, V'achar Kach Asa Kelim, and then the Kelim would follow. Why is it necessary for Bezalel to come and explain it with such clarity, almost as if to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu would not understand that's going on? So that's our first question. Again, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu has to spell out in great detail to Moshe Rabbeinu that first what one should build is first the Mishkan, because it's to first build a house and then the Kelim? Just tell Moshe Rabbeinu we build the Mishkan first and then we build the Kelim. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. The Medrash Tanchuma tells us Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman says, "Bishlosha chadoshim nigmra meleches hamishkan." That the meleches hamishkan, the construction and the crafting of the Mishkan, took 3 months. Tishrei, and we obviously know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down the day after Yom Kippur and said, "We're going to build the Mishkan." So it started in Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, and Kislev. V'haya munach u'meforak teves u'shvat v'adar. And it would lay in storage in the months of Teves, Shvat, and Adar, an additional 3 months. V'emidu be'echad b'nisan. And it would be erected the first of Nisan. As it says, "B'yom haChodesh haRishon be'echad laChodesh, tokim es Mishkan oel Moed." It would be making. It would be erected. It'll be standing the first of Nisan. Asks Reb Chaim Kanievsky a very profound question. We know that there's a halacha, there's a concept, Ushmartem es hamatzos, don't al tikri matzos ela mitzvos, observe your mitzvos, meaning mitzvah baliyado, that a mitzvah that comes into your hand, al tachmitzena, don't delay. We know that there's an idea of alacrity, of zrizus when it comes to mitzvos. The first opportunity that you have to perform a mitzvah, you do it. So why is it, if the Mishkan was already finished in the month of Kislev, why are we leaving it in the months of Teves, Shvat, and Adar? Who builds a Beis HaKnesses and leaves it when it's ready? Oh, we're gonna come in 3 months from now. Who knows what's going to happen in 3 months from now? If a mitzvah comes to you, you observe it. You're mekayim it. Perhaps they should have been making the Mishkan already in the month of Teves. Why was it necessary to wait all the way 3 months later, beginning the month of Nisan? That is our second question. And our third and final question is the opening pasuk in this week's parsha tells us, Ele pikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edus. These are the pikudei, the accountings of the mishkan ha-edus, literally translated, the mishkan of the testimony. Rashi comes and asks, what does that mean, mishkan ha-edus, the mishkan of the testimony? What testimony is taking place? Edus li Yisrael, says Rashi, it's a testimony for Yisrael. Sheviter lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maiso HaEgel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was mevater, he overlooked the Maisa, the incident of the Chet HaEgel, of the golden calf. Sha'arei Hishra Shechinaso Beneihem, for he rested his Shechina, his presence among them, meaning in the Mishkan. The Mishkan gives credence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu overlooked the incident of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore it is a Mishkan La'edus. It gives testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven Klal Yisrael by overlooking the Chet HaEgel, and now he is placing his presence in the Mishkan. Asks Reb Eli Baruch Finkel and many others, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, Kol ha-omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran, that anyone who calls or who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one who overlooks, Yasro Chayav, so he will relinquish his life. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wrath will be placed upon this person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Vatran. If a person does an Avera, he's going to be punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not some pushover. The Gemara in Baba Kama tells us that you will relinquish your life if you were to suggest that he was a Mevater. To compound the question, the Makor, the root, the source for this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Vatran is from none other the sin of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf. Mefarshim come and explain that Ein Poronios Baal Yisrael, that no suffering comes upon Klal Yisrael, She'ein Bo Ksas Mipiron Avon HaEgel, it ultimately will trace itself all the way back to the Chet HaEgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Mevater. So how could Rashi come and tell us Shaviter Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maiso Egel? It's not true. Reb Eli Baruch Finkel explains that the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, had two components. There were two chatoyim, there were two sins that had taken place by the golden calf. The first is the obvious one, Avodah Zarah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, lo yeh lecha elokim achirim. There shall be no others. They transgressed one of the three Averos Chamuros, the three cardinal sins. But then there was a more subtle Avera, the less obvious transgression. And that was the Maisa Haznus. There was immorality that was taking place when Klal Yisrael engaged in some capacity of the Chet HaEgel. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael were married by Har Sinai. Shehare Knesses Yisrael Chashuva Kekala. That we were the Kala, we were the bride of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk tells us, Vayotze Moshe, that Moshe brought, Vayotze Moshe Es Ha'am, that Moshe brought the people, the Kras HaElokim, from the camp, towards Hashem, Vayitziatzvu B'tachtis Ha'ar, and they stood under the mount. And Rashi comes and tells us, what does that mean, Likros HaElokim, to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magid? This teaches us, Shehashchina Yotzal Likrosa, that the Shechina went out towards them like a chasan, Hayotze Likras Kala, like a chasan who goes out to greet his Kala, his bride. As it says in the Pasuk, Hashem Misinai Ba, Hashem came from Sinai to tell us that it was Kechasan Hayotze Likras Kala, that it's a Chasan who's going to greet his soon-to-be wife. Knesset Yisrael is Arusaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Klal Yisrael is the Arusa, we're the maiden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Luchos Habris was the Ksuba, that ultimately the Chasan would give to his Kala. And the Gemara tells us, because of this relationship, this beautiful relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chasan and Kala, Aluva Kala Shezinsa Bekerev Chubasa. The Gemara tells us that when Klal Yisrael sinned by the Chet HaEgel, it was tantamount to a Kala being Mezana, acting immorally close to her chupa. The Shechina was present by Har Sinai. Shechina, Ba'o Shechina, V'Yisrael B'Sinai, Asu V'Sa'egel. The Shechina was present. And Klal Yisrael came and was Mezana. Essentially, Klal Yisrael has a din of a sota. Klal Yisrael has a din, has a status of a husband who is bringing charges against his wife that he was concerned or suspicious that she was mizana, that she acted immorally. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that the Parsha of Sota, de Bikpeda de Baal Talya Milsa, that it's the Baal's right, if he's suspicious, he has a right to bring his wife to the Kohen Gadol that she should drink the mei sota, that she should drink the waters of a sota. When Rashi comes and tells us, says Rav Eli Baruch Finkel, when Rashi comes and tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a mevater, he was only a mevater, he only was able or willing to overlook Klal Yisrael being mezana, acting potentially immorally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mevater when it came to the aspect of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara, when the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a mevater, and we learn that out from Chet HaEgel, he was not mevater, he did not overlook the act of idolatry. But with Klal Yisrael potentially straying from Hashem and looking elsewhere, a wife being betrothed to her husband, and now she is mikudeshes, and now her husband suspects that perhaps his wife is acting unfaithfully, that a husband is willing or able, it's in his domain, it's his prerogative to overlook it and to find some type of schus, some type of merit for his wife. There's a Mishnah. There's the Mishnah in Maseches Sota on Daf Chof Amud Aleph that tells us that there are times that the water of Sota, the Mei Sota, and its effects, they're sometimes deferred. And I want to share with you the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Im yesh lo schus, if she had a merit, it would hold her punishment and suspend it." And there are different opinions as to how long that suspension or that deferred punishment lasts to see if she has some type of schus that she ultimately is zocha to produce a child from this husband. One of the opinions as to how long her sentence is deferred to see if she has any schus that ultimately she would merit to be with her husband once again. There is an opinion in the Gemara that says, "Im yesh lo schus, if she had a merit, tola lo shlosha chadashim, it would hold her punishment for 3 months." I believe that is exactly why, precisely why, we waited 3 months, even after the completion of the Mishkan, to finally erect and be making the Mishkan. We asked the question, why is it, if the Mishkan took 3 months, Tishrei, Mar Cheshvan, and Kislev, why not erect it immediately? Why wait an additional 3 months and only Rosh Chodesh Nisan be making the Mishkan, stand the Mishkan, erect the Mishkan? I want to suggest those are the 3 months, because Klal Yisrael was a wife that was potentially unfaithful. And the husband is looking for schuyos. The husband is looking for some type of merit that would exonerate this woman. And that merit, or her sentence is deferred for 3 months. And we said that that was the issue of Klal Yisrael, where the Chet HaEgel was an issue of Sota. They strayed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a wife would stray potentially from a husband. So So the Mishkan, which was in lieu, which shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vatranos, it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's willing to overlook the transgression of Arayos. But that period is deferred for only 3 months. That's why it wasn't erected immediately in the month of Teves. But because Klal Yisrael had a din, a status of a sota, in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, and that's the Mishkan HaEdos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to be mevater. And ultimately, in erecting the Mishkan, which is a response to us being unfaithful, it as well needs to remain dormant and suspended for those 3 months. And that, I believe, is ultimately what's happening as to why it is that Bezalel is giving this very interesting explanation to Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Bezalel and says, Bezalel, you said good. What was it that Bezalel had said? Bezalel said, isn't it minag hamakom, isn't it common practice to first build a house and then place the kelim in the house? The Medrash tells us that the zahav that was used to build the Medrash tells us that the zahav that was used for the clay Mishkan, the gold that was used for the utensils of the Mishkan, atoned for the gold that was used by the Egel. That Zahav was used to be mechaper, to atone for Avodah Zarah. But the Medrash tells us that the Mishkan itself was mechaper, atoned for Giloy Arayos. And it's based upon a Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah Parsha Aleph. So the Kalim are the Avodah Zarah. The Kalim are mechaper for the Avodah Zarah that had taken place by the Chet HaEgel. And the Mishkan itself, not the Kalim, atoned for Gilui Arayos. What I want to suggest is the Sota. And Bezalel is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and is telling him it's not only a Mishkan and it's not only Kalim, but this is a bias. Minog ha'olam la'asos t'chila bias. Bezalel was saying that first we're addressing the bias, the home. The husband and wife build a home. The meis sota is being addressed. That takes kadimus. That takes preference. That's what needs to be built upon. That needs a true kapara. Because the people that were involved in the actual idolatry, the Erev Rav, they were already killed. They already received their punishment. And therefore comes along Bezalel and says, Minog ha'olam asos tchila bayis. First we're going to work on the home. We're going to come and try to have a more deep relationship with you to build our home. The furnishings, the kalim, that's secondary. But it's the bias that we have to work on. Klal Yisrael is coming and saying, HaKadosh Baruch, we want to work on our relationship with you. We first are going to build the bayis. We're going to be mechaper for the gilui arayos, and then we'll worry about all the other inyanim. But Bezalel was saying, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants is first to build the bayis, to treat the gilui arayos. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe went and said, Bezel kel ha'isa. You are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shadow, kibavadai. For indeed, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me. V'chein asa, and so did Bezalel do. But that's why he mentioned the bayis. It wasn't necessary. Just say, look, we first build a Mishkan, then we build a Kalim. Why come and give this mashal of a bayis and then the Kalim, the furnishings after building the home? The answer is because that's exactly what the relationship of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. It's about developing and nurturing a relationship, a marriage. That is a bayis. Isha zu bayis, says the Gemara. So we see the idea of the Mishkan and the Kalim, and the building and the delaying of the Mishkan, and the Kapara of the Mishkan, and the Vatranas of the Mishkan, it's all built and predicated upon a relationship between Klal Yisrael, the Kala, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chasan. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.